When I was growing up, one of my aunts in my hometown owned a greenhouse, and I ended up spending a fair amount of time at her greenhouse. It was called Brown's Nursery, and I always thought that was kind of ironic that Brown's Nursery was the name of it, but that was her maiden name, and so even though she had a very green thumb, her nursery was called Brown's Nursery. Well, all day long, every day, she walked up and down the aisles picking at the plants. I don't think I ever went in that she didn't have a handful of leaves that she had plucked off of plants. And she could stand there and talk to a customer or talk to you or deal with me and my cousins running up and down the aisles crazy playing with the water hoses while she trimmed back these plants with her hand. She had this natural ability to reach underneath and pull off the leaves that were starting to die or that didn't get enough sunlight and to prune that plant so that it was beautifully shaped. Well, her greenhouse was always filled with flowers. I've never seen plants that were, every one of them, always in bloom. They were beautiful. In much the same way, throughout the Old Testament, God has hoped that Israel would be a plant that was always growing and always beautiful. And so Israel is described throughout the Old Testament as the vineyard of God, expected to bloom and to bear fruit. The psalmist says, God brought the vine out of Egypt and planted it in the promised land. The grapevine is so prevalent in Jewish imagery that it had actually become the symbol of the nation Israel. There were grapevines on their coins saying that this is a coin of Israel. It was a great honor in the temple to be able to give money, to give the gold, to mold a new grape, or even some people got to mold a whole new grape bunch onto the vine that was in front of the Holy of Holies. But then time passed, and the nation of Israel was overtaken. And as they went out into exile, we hear the prophets calling back to the vineyard. Ezekiel and Jeremiah, Hosea and Isaiah all describe Israel as the vineyard of God that has failed to bear fruit. Isaiah says, the one I love had a vineyard, a fine, well-placed vineyard. He hoed the soil and pulled the weeds and planted the very best vines. He built a lookout and built a wine press, a vineyard to be proud of. He looked for a vintage yield of grapes, but for all his pains, he got wild, bitter grapes. So Jesus takes this image in the last of the I Am statements to say, God isn't finished. God hasn't given up on Israel. God is continuing to work this vineyard. Jesus has now been planted in the vineyard, and Jesus is the true vine, and his disciples are the branches, and a harvest is not just hoped for, it's expected. Now, here's the thing about grapevines. Grapevines are good for nothing but grapes. That's it. If you don't get fruit that's good from your grapevine, there is no other use for it. The leaves aren't any good. The branches aren't any good. It is all about the fruit. The wood of the branches is too soft to be used to make anything. Ezekiel said, God's message came to me. How would you compare the wood of a vine with branches of any tree you'd find in the forest? Is vine wood ever used to make anything? I mean, this is Ezekiel. Do we ever use that for anything? No, because you can't even make a peg out of it to hang something from. It's too soft. It's too weak. The vine is useless. And even for fires, it's not desirable. Jesus and the disciples, the first hearers in the first century, would have known that Jesus is comparing himself to the vine and would have known how useless a grapevine is without fruit. Every year, at certain times of the year, the people of Israel were required to bring wood for the fires for sacrifice in the temple. And they would have all known that one of the rules was, don't bring that grapevine stuff. Don't bring that stuff. It's not even good for a fire. It truly is good for nothing but fruit. And Jesus says, I am the vine. And cut off from Jesus, there is no way that the branches can bear any fruit. And if they don't bear fruit, they are completely useless. I read an article this week by John Pavlovitz. He's a pastor and a writer. He currently serves a church in Wake Forest, North Carolina. And the title of the article was, Dear Church, Here's Why People Are Really Leaving. And he basically said that the church has done exactly what Jesus warned us here not to do. We have disconnected from the vine. He says, when worship is disconnected from the vine, people leave. People are leaving church because of worship. Not because of what happens in worship, but because of what doesn't happen. People come to worship to encounter God, not to be entertained. People come to worship because what happens on Sunday needs to make a difference in their lives on Tuesday and still on Thursday and still on Saturday. When life gets messy and painful, or when people are going to sleep and they have this choice of whether they're going to sleep in and stay away or come back, it needs to make a difference in their lives. Or why wouldn't they just sleep in? What worship offers that concerts and motivational speakers and basketball playoff games don't offer is God. If we don't offer God, the concerts and the speakers and, tell me, the Grizzlies ball is going to be more entertaining. It's better entertainment than we can offer. But when you leave a concert, or you leave the motivational speaker, or the game is over, you are no better equipped to face tomorrow than you were before the event happened. Worship connects us to the vine. Worship that has its roots in the Word of God, that grows out of Christ, nourishes us. Pavlovitz also says that people are leaving because of our use of language. Spiritualized, big churchy words and terms about eschatology and theology don't resonate in people's ears. He says our words are like big, green, bushy leaves when people are looking for fruit. They're listening for real talk about love, about joy, about forgiveness and death and peace and God. And I think they're looking and listening for more than talk. Our actions speak louder than our words. One branch of a grapevine by itself is weak. It can't hold up under the weight of the leaves that it bears. It can't hold up under the fruit. And we're a lot like that. The weather comes, and we're trying to bear all that we have, and we snap off. Unless, not only do we need to be connected to Jesus the vine, we need to intertwine like that grapevine does to support one another. Because I think that we need that to withstand the weight of life. The people that Pavlovitz says are leaving because of our language, I think are leaving because of what they don't hear and see us saying. They're looking for real answers to real questions, real support through crisis. Because without those answers, the weight of those questions and the crisis starts drooping on them, and they aren't getting enough nutrients, and they wither away in the scorching sun. Sometimes our language causes people to leave because we use flowery language instead of fruit. We say things like, let justice roll down like a river. And I wonder, what does it really mean to work for justice? Do you ever listen to the words we pray Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and think, what does that really mean on Monday? What does that really mean for tomorrow? Let justice roll down like rivers sounds nice, but how do you do that? How do we in Germantown, Tennessee, work for justice? Sometimes I just feel like there are too many leaves, and it's hard to see how to get to it. Does it mean to follow the health care bills and write to senators? Does it mean to be active in the school voucher legislation? Does it mean to get involved with the governor's and the mayor's efforts to cut poverty in Memphis from 27% to 17% over the next 10 years? Because if all of our words are just leaves, the plant's never going to bear any fruit. I was reminded of my aunt picking off the extra leaves so that the leaves underneath wouldn't take all the nutrients when they really weren't going to get enough sunlight to actually bear fruit. And I read his third reason people are leaving church. People are leaving because our vision can't see past our building. And he's not talking just about the physical building. He's talking about our comfort zone. We focus in church a lot of times on come and see, come on, come see, instead of we're coming to be with you. We spend time and effort on drawing people to us instead of meeting people where they are. Fruit comes when we partner with the amazing things that are already happening in our world, in our neighborhood, in our city. People are leaving because we wait for God to come and tell us what to do instead of looking around to see where God is already active and working and figuring out how we can be a part of it. And I studied a little bit about viticulture this week, how you grow grapes. And it seems to me that in the life of the church, one of the things that often hinders us is something called overcropping. Overcropping will greatly lower the fruit quality and the vine vigor. It is better, especially on young vines, to do some cluster thinning in years of heavy fruit set. Thinning to one cluster per shoot. Because it's the simplest way to make sure that those remaining fruits will become larger and more fully ripened clusters, good grapes. We can't address all of the needs of the world at once. So the church needs to be strategic. What resources has God given us? And what needs has God placed in front of us? Where those match, we go to work. Because the fourth reason that Pavlovitz gives for people leaving church is our willingness to fight lousy battles. We fight the small ones, he says, the easy ones. Like, I'm going to protest something on moral grounds, and so I'm not going to buy this product. Or I'm not going to watch this TV show anymore. Those are easy. But we pass by our neighbors who've been wounded by poverty and racism and violence. Here's what it boils down to. The fifth reason that Pavlovitz says people are leaving church. He says, our love doesn't look like love. Our grapes are not edible. The point of being a Christian is to bear fruit in the world. There is no fruit if we're not connected to the vine. There is no fruit if the branches don't grow from the vine and intertwine with one another for support. There is no good fruit if the branch wastes its energy and its nourishment on lots of grapes and lots of leaves instead of focusing on producing the good, large, sweet fruit that comes from pruning and tending the branches. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. May our love look like love, and may we bear much fruit. Amen.